sides left. Okay. I never clear the card till I get so paranoid about it, you know?
What?
Just because once, like anything, you know, once, if it's recorded, then it's recorded, then it has to get loaded, it has to transfer, it has to not get corrupted. And so it's almost like, I don't know. I've at least started to edit the No Escape one, though, so that's at least there. Okay, welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight, we're doing a movie that matters, but it kind of doesn't matter because we don't have Seth here. That's what Seth said when he said that he wasn't going to be able to make it. He's like, go ahead, just watch something that doesn't matter. and we can discuss what we think about this one from, God, I don't have the date, 1987, let's say.
I don't know, where's the case?
It might be old.
It might be older than that.
I think it is older than that. I'm going to say, because I think Above the Law was his first...
It was one of them, yeah. That's what it is, anyway. It's Above the Law. Above the Law is the only... Well, let's see. Under Siege is 92.
Come on, this isn't compelling podcast.
The Gloomer Man is not. Above the Law is 88.
88, okay. So Die Hard.
Yep.
Same year as Die Hard.
Wow. I always forget that Die Hard is late 80s. I always feel like it seems like more like 86. I don't know why. But 88, yeah. 88 was a good year.
It was. Dodgers won the World Series.
Ooh.
Lakers won the finals.
Was that with Fernando? Dodgers?
Fernando was injured that year. He was still with the team after that, but I don't think he was there that season. Yeah. Or if he was, it was earlier in the year or something like that. It was Oral Hershiser. He was the big deal that year.
That's right.
Kirk Gibson.
Old Hershiser. So we got Above the Law, one of Steven Seagal's first, presented in a strange kind of fashion. I mean, it's got the CIA angle and everything. I don't know. It's when I was a kid, it was a little too involved for me plot wise, and I was a little bored by it compared to some of the other more action.
Yeah, no, ones. It's a little.
But now I enjoy it, and I always feel like it's one of the few that I put in, like, the... Seagal clearly, I think, has a pretty well-delineated bit before he started doing, you know, the more straight-to-DVD, or even a couple of those that weren't straight-to-DVD, but, like, came and went. Like, what's that one with DMX, Exit Wounds? That came out to theaters, but, like...
There was a ton. He has a period. Why I said he had a period, like it's not still ongoing.
Right.
But there's a period that began some point after, probably around and after Exit Wounds, where they started to, I mean, he had a series where he was in a movie with a rapper a couple times a year.
Right. Yeah,
which then, when he got tired of that, Val Kilmer started doing it. And
okay, yeah.
Yeah, like every other movie with Val Kilmer has 50 Cent in it.
But you do say that, like, Seagal, I guess Van Damme was sort of the first to sort of do that with the action thing. But now it's almost like everybody is in straight-to-DVD stuff now. Like, Alec Baldwin, Robert De Niro, Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, maybe they're not the leads in them. Maybe they're in them for 5 minutes.
None of that stuff is made with the intent of it being straight-to-DVD.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah.
There's some stuff... there was something I saw just the other day that was like... It was a huge cast of, like, major people, and it was straight to DVD. I got one as a new release the other day that we had to set out that was, it was called The Iceman. It was Michael Shannon and Chris
Evans. Oh, I've heard
about
that. I've heard that that's pretty good.
Straight to DVD. But it apparently is really good, and it's about, like, a true life thing. You think it'd be interesting. And,
right, yeah.
You know, but it's just weird, like, what gets distribution and what does not, what gets picked up.
It's become, like, yeah, and really, I mean, strange. I feel like something like that was probably did festival circuits and stuff and probably got some, you know, some value there. But yeah, distribution is becoming strange, so it's not like you can just denigrate Seagal for doing a bunch of straight-to-DVD action movies. But, I mean, this was back in the day when everything that came out. And just like with Van Damme, and just like with, Brandon Lee never really got a chance to have his, like, period of time when, like, he hit with a bunch of action movies and he was the guy whose movies you're watching. But I know he definitely had a Van Damme period and a Bruce Lee kind of, sort of. At a Seagal period when I was a kid watching action movies, you know? And because they feel like they all just kind of happened at the same time.
Steven Seagal kind of looks like a period.
Okay, there's that too. He does have kind of a sour face, like maybe he's just not in the best of moods. Is that what you mean?
You can spin that any way you want.
Okay. Or like he's gonna be the one to punctuate the situation and
put No, I mean he looks like a big sloppy pile of Menzies.
Menzies? Maybe now, kind of as he's becoming always reddened and...
He looked terrible in this film. This is back when he was thin and stuff. What's funny is I never took him as a person who was wearing a wig or had transplants or plugs or something, but he obviously got them because this is like, if this is his first movie...
In 88, yeah.
And he was like very visibly balding in it. Right, but he has thick, full, luscious, like you know, wire brush hair at this point.
Well, he must have done something. Maybe he took some supplements or...
There's no supplements that fix that.
Yeah, that's true. If only, right?
If only. So, Above the Law is a little slow. The other ones, I think when he started churning them out a little bit, I think they started... And actually, this was directed by Andrew Davis, who I think directed Fugitive... He was like a real good director for like 20 years or so. And this was probably early in his career, but Steven Seagal, the thing that I love about his movies, and it works better in some than others, is just the extreme brutality on his part. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that his martial art of choice is Aikido or whatever it is.
Wait, isn't Aikido judo the one that's all about getting away from things?
He uses whatever he's doing. He's using people's momentum to knock them over.
Right.
He does a lot of that, but he does it so he has such a look of cruelty. He's taller than everybody.
Right.
He's bigger than everybody. He's just remorseless, relentless. Anyone can attack him at any time with any weapon. He doesn't care. This movie, I made the remark at the end. He actually gets punched in the face, and like right. They break his nose, and he's bleeding and stuff. And that's the only time I've ever seen that in any Steven Seagal movie ever, because he never even gets touched. Under Siege is a funny movie because he goes through the whole thing and just never gets touched once. And you know, by the time Under Siege came out, they had realized that you can't just punch people. You know, at one point he does shoot a guy in a funny scene in this where all these guys are approaching him and he pops up with a gun. He tells them all to put their guns down, and this one guy starts walking toward him and goes, "I don't think you can take us all out." So he just shoots and kills him.
Right, broad daylight. Yeah. With witnesses.
And at that point, he's been suspended from active police duty.
Yeah, he used Psylocke's gun for that.
but he's a cruel, brutal bully.
Yeah, but
and it's hilarious.
He's operating in this world where, and I'm not going to go on some kind of right-wing justification here or anything, but I mean, everyone that comes at him does seem... It's like this is this weird kind of fuck-you sensibility to it that doesn't make any sense in some cases. Like when... When the guys that try to kill him, when he's out looking up for the guy, and then he's beating the guy up, and the guy's like, "Oh, hey, what? He's hurting my friend." Like, it's his neighbor. Like, it's his friend in life, because they have a different, you know, how it is, you know? You know different people in different contexts, and every now and again, you'll be like, "Oh, so-and-so's an asshole." It's like, I don't know, so-and-so always seemed cool to me. And so he goes up to him, he's like, "What are you doing, man?" But then he shoves him, and that gives Seagal justification of, like, breaking his nose and, like,
flipping him into the woods. He just popped him in the stomach.
He broke his sternum, basically.
Yeah.
Collapsed his lungs. Yeah.
And then he, like, rooster walks past those black guys. And he's like, hey, brother. And they're like, "Hey, man, that's cool."
Let him know that everything's hunky-dory, you know?
It's interesting, any movie in the 80s, it's interesting to see race relations in them, because they were just so free with, like, things are improving. Let's just go ahead and call everyone racial slurs all the time, and And there's a lot of
in
that.
In the 80s?
Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know so much in the 80s. I feel like that was more of a gritty, like, 70s thing, like, with, you know,
the French Connection and stuff. No, they casually... Well, of course it was a 70s thing. Right. But, I mean, it was still going into the 80s. And they don't, like, casually... In movies, any action movie now, they don't casually... You don't have characters calling each other chinks and stuff like that. They don't do that.
Right.
They can't do that necessarily. But they did in the 80s, like, really freely.
Okay, maybe. I feel like, okay. I mean, I know what you mean. But...
Dude, in Lethal Weapon, Mel Gibson, who's the protagonist of the movie, calls like 8 guys chinks.
Oh my god. I haven't seen the first one in a while. I haven't seen the second one in a while, too. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's true.
it's absolutely true.
The terminology for what you could kind of... I feel like it's a... I don't know what the justification would have been back then. It's like, these are scumbags, so these terms are justifiable.
It's okay to call people racist names as long as they're bad guys.
Right, I guess. using the F-bomb and stuff. Mm-hmm. Not the F-bomb, but the F-word, I guess, you know, which is a big one that has been completely well phased out of things at this point, you know?
You're talking about the word fag.
I am, yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure that you were...
Well, clear. I'm trying to keep the iTunes set up. It's still going to be explicit because...
Yeah, you already said the F word several times, the original F word.
I did.
So it's not on this recording.
Yes,
you did. Gosh, you do this
every time. I always forget.
Go back and listen. I swear to you, I will bet you money right now.
I'm fine. Yeah, I probably just casually said it like I do sometimes.
You would never work in a PG world.
I don't know. I think there was a time when I really could, but maybe not so much anymore. No, I'm not a PG world kind of guy. I want to be, though. Maybe you can someday.
So, the Steven Seagal thing,
right,
which you rudely interrupted my spiel about Steven Seagal. So, he's been in some good movies. The Under Siege films are pretty damn good. Several in his oeuvre,
mm-hmm,
are... pretty darn good action films. I mean, he, people talk about Executive Decision, which is an alright movie. He's only in it for 10 minutes.
That's also got Kurt Russell. I mean, that's a real big movie.
Yeah, it's a big movie, but I mean, like, people talk about how he was good in it, but he was in it for 10 minutes, so I don't know if that's really fair. But when it comes down to it, just like Jean-Claude Van Damme, I wonder how you would rank all the action guys. Let's try to rank them right now. So,
you got Chuck Norris.
Stop it.
What?
Don't just start at the bottom and start throwing out Chuck Norris. Listen, I want to talk about a pantheon of people. So,
you got so mad about it.
You don't just throw out Chuck Norris.
Mentioning, I wasn't putting it in order yet or anything.
Jan Michael Vincent, you say. Let's go, Jan Michael Vincent. Who's the guy who's an American Ninja? Is that Paré?
Michael Dudikoff?
Dudikoff?
I think.
Yeah, it was Dudikoff.
He wasn't in all of them, though. He was in, like,
you
one
can't,
or
you
two
can't just
or
start there.
Or something, right? Yeah.
Okay, so it's hard to really say. So is Bruce Willis an action guy? Where does he rank in that?
Well,
let's not just go with people who are in the Expendables movies.
But so there's action, and then there's like martial art action, which is like where you Chuck Norris and Van Damme.
Okay,
and
but a lot of that is also just action. The fact that there's
right, but I'm saying, how do you want to delineate this?
I want to say action. I want to just
okay,
say
then Bruce Willis is
who
action.
Are just playing action movies.
But Bruce Willis
was
more of
a
modern
action.
Yeah,
movies.
Right. Yeah,
he was in blockbusters such as Hudson Hawk,
which is action, in my opinion. It's an action comedy. I
just wanted to throw out Hudson Hawk.
Fantastic.
Schwarzenegger is easily the king of this pile. Easily.
Yeah.
But he was in other genres of films.
He was in a couple of comedies.
Kindergarten Cop is a great film.
Kindergarten Cop is great. It's his best.
And there are several of the comedy. Of the action films that are comedies. Last Action Hero.
Yeah. But I mean, he never was in like a straight up... He didn't even attempt to be like in a straight
up... Out of all the people in these action films... You know what's funny about
you have to go by the movies, dude.
You do, and people, you know, you
and
make
Kurt
fun
Russell's
of,
an action
you make
guy.
Fun of. He was in so much more than that. He was in comedies.
I know, but so he's kind of
you're not going to call Mel Gibson an action guy.
But I mean, if you're talking about good action movies,
I'm talking about people who were
in movies.
action stars and not actors.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
Okay,
so you have to count Stallone, even though Stallone was actually an actor.
Yeah, he transcends.
And he, you know, was an Oscar winner and whatever
Copland,
else. And,
yeah,
and
Copland.
Rocky, dude. He wrote Rocky and won an Oscar for it. So, you've got these people where, in the case of Stallone and Schwarzenegger, they were in some really great movies. And some, you know, horrific, awful movies as well.
Right.
You know what's interesting is when you go back and look at, there's this, just look at clips of Schwarzenegger talking on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great, man. I love the guy. He needs to be in more stuff. He's got this, I don't know what they're on. I happen to see one and I clicked on it. I don't know what it's for. It's him outside of trailers or on the side of the road, like just in random places. And it's him just saying lines from his movies into the camera. And he's like grizzled and he's got this beard.
Mm-hmm.
And in half of them, he's got a cigar hanging out of his mouth. And he's just so awesome. Schwarzenegger
is so awesome.
It sounds
like something
awesome.
They would have shot for the new movie that just came out.
Well, there was stuff about it. The new one, Escape Plan, is it was originally called The Tomb. And there was stuff about how they were... At one point, Sylvester Stallone was getting some sort of Lifetime Achievement Award from somewhere. And Schwarzenegger was sending him a video to mm-hmm. congratulate him on it. But he had the cigar hanging out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. And he just called him Sly the whole time.
Yeah.
Which was funny when people do that. And he's like... He's like, I'll see you next week when we start filming The Tomb. but Schwarzenegger is just awesome. When he opens his mouth, you're just like, gosh, this guy is retarded. You know, he is just full-blown retarded in movies. Because, like, he can barely talk. I mean, of course, there's accent stuff. And he just looks stupid. When his mouth opens, he just looks dumb. When his mouth is closed, he looks like a chiseled god, right? With, like, cheekbones. And eyes under cantilevered
brows,
you know, and like just glaring and ugh. And then he opens his mouth and he's like, and he's got like a gap in his teeth and stuff. But my gosh, if his movies are not just the most enjoyable things, you know, almost all of them.
I think so too.
Jingle All the Way is pretty damn entertaining.
I was thinking about it, and I think that. In terms of just action movies, if you took the collections, like the Stallone collection, the Seagal collection, the Schwarzenegger, Stallone's is far and above. I mean, I like both the Conan movies, but even if you just liked Conan, you're good. You've got Predator is good.
Oh, yeah.
Both the Terminators are good.
The sci-fi
Commando
stuff.
Is good.
Terminator movies are incredible.
Yeah.
Total Recall is incredible. He's in some of my very favorite movies of all time.
Right. So Stallone is above head and shoulders. So
but Stallone,
I can't say it.
Stallone was, I think he's second on the list because well,
but
if you just count the action movie. Well,
you lose it because you got a couple Rambo.
You got
movies.
Rambos. I think
Cobra.
I think all the Rambos are really worth it. They're really in there somewhere.
The Rambos are good.
Two is pretty awesome. I know, and I know I generally don't like three, but there's some pretty funny and awesome parts.
I mean, when it's the Apache versus the tank at the end.
Yeah,
that's
and four
cool.
is great, but that, is but good. That but that's already see Stallone is smarter than the rest of those guys.
Yeah,
Stallone has always been
Cliffhanger
with
Rooker
Rooker. You always mispronounce his name
from
Rooker
from Above the Law.
From Above the Law
who showed up for
Rooker
a cameo.
Does pop into Above the Law.
That's so weird too. By 88, he would have been doing stuff, right? So it
Henry
literally
Porter
was like a
Henry
cameo.
Henry Porter, a serial killer, was in 88, I think.
If it was, then
and I don't think he had been in anything yet at that.
So
point.
What? He just jumped
like,
to a starring role, pretty much. In
well,
that?
It's like an indie film.
Even so, wow.
It was made on no budget with nobody, so it was.
I still need to see it. I actually haven't seen that.
It's pretty grim.
I bet
it's not, but it's
so
but
it should be.
Well, but it's filmed in like a very. Casual way. It's not filmed in like a frightening way. It's really
that can make it more disturbing.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange film. But think about Van Damme's good stuff. Van Damme was really awesome.
Double Team.
And he got to that peak, like that time cop peak, right?
Right?
So everyone gets to the point where they're suddenly in something that's too big for them, and then their career goes down. Like, you know what people are clamoring for? Van Damme and time travel. And you know stuff like that, and it turns out they weren't. And that's not a bad film. That's a good movie.
No, it's fun. Ron Silver.
What's her name? Gets a little naked in it.
Mia Sara. From Legend and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller, yeah. But so the Pantheon, so the people. Okay, the Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. How many presidents on Mount Rushmore? Four. Eight? Seven?
Four.
Six?
Four!
So if you had to pick four of these action guys, Seagal wouldn't be one of them, right? Because no. because we're counting
if
Bruce Willis.
If you could only pick four, I think we shouldn't. Because
I think
if you
shouldn't
really,
also.
If
because
really
he was in,
of, he was in,
he was
like,
in the Die Hards, and then he was in... Everything else was like
yeah, and his,
other genres.
His action stuff has become more now, and it's become... I don't know, sort of.
And he was never
lackluster.
The thing about all these guys is, it's all about their physicality, and it was never about Bruce Willis.
No,
physicality.
Which is why Die Hard
it's
is
about,
so great.
It's
yeah.
about Van Damme's physicality. It's about Seagal's physicality. It's about Stallone's physicality, and it's 100% about Schwarzenegger's
Absolutely.
Physicality. Because if he wasn't the size he was, he wouldn't even be in these films. Because
right.
who cares
yeah.
about this Austrian immigrant? You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, right. So okay, so we got Schwarzenegger.
It's Schwarzenegger, it's Stallone.
It's Stallone. You think... Yeah, I guess Stallone. That makes sense. You got
is
Demolition
Seagal
Man.
On it?
You got Demolition Man. I don't
is it
think
Van
so.
Damme and then Seagal?
I don't think so because, I mean, I mentioned Chuck Norris and I feel like...
Chuck Norris, come on!
He was in a lot of action movies, dude.
Of course he was in a lot of action movies.
And it was about physicality because he was beating the shit out of people.
All his movies were just about rescuing people from POW camps.
There was Missing in Action 2, The Beginning.
All
there
his movies.
That. Missing in Action 2, The Beginning.
I'd rather put Charles Bronson on there.
Missing in Action 3, Braddock. Charles Bronson. Ooh, Charles. See, the problem is, were we trying
was
to stay
not
in
his
the,
physicality.
Are you trying to stay in the 80s here? Because
no.
once it starts blowing out, then you got like Lee
Vin
Marvin.
Diesel?
And yeah, I mean, it becomes kind of
Vin
insane.
Diesel's physicality, but he tends to be in genre stuff where...
Well, okay, well, like The Rock, but The Rock is more...
The Rock hasn't meant anything. The Rock hasn't been the lead in anything. That puts him in that level yet.
That's
the Rundown
true.
Was pretty good.
The Scorpion
there's
King.
There's there's the remake of, hitting people with a board movie.
Oh yeah, Walking Tall.
Walking Tall
with the 4x4.
But those are all like PG-13 movies, right? So I don't. He's not at that level. The Fast and the Furious movies are such a mix of awesome things and so many people that you really can't say that they're one person's movie. It's not Vin Diesel's movie.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, certainly now, once The Rock entered the picture...
First one, it was like, it's Vin Diesel and Paul Walker, but
yeah.
I mean, Vin Diesel was the selling point.
So, okay, so he might be then. He might be the fourth in that.
And, of course, this is completely disregarding the Asian action stars.
That's
this
true.
Is, this
I don't know most of those because I'm not a huge kung fu guy. I'm not... I didn't to my own discredit.
Jackie Chan was the biggest.
Yeah,
thing on Earth.
I've seen very few Jackie
oh,
Chan
man,
movies. I've
out.
Seen
They're
very.
Great.
I haven't seen those names of people.
You should catch
all
up on your
a
Jackie
lot of the
Chan.
Ninja movies. I watched a lot of the ninja movies when I was a kid, but I don't remember anything. You know, like of those guys.
Can you get YouTube on your PlayStation there?
No, but I got my computer.
Yeah, you can get it on there. We'll watch some Jackie Chan clips later. I'm going to show you a few things.
Okay.
It's porn. Yeah. okay, so let's just say it's hard to include all those. I would actually put Jackie Chan up there, but those are like
yeah. Once you open it to a foreign market, then you've got a thing. All things that
but
we don't know.
We already have Van Damme in there,
right? But
he's
those were all movies.
And so is Schwarzenegger.
I'm not.
You're being
but they were all
right
produced
now.
In the U.S.
So were the majority
I'm
of Jackie
not, and
Fan,
I'm not,
Chan's films after he
after when after like Rush
well,
Hour.
No. No,
I mean,
no. I mean Rumble in the
he
Bronx
was in that
stuff,
he was were... in that movie with Danny Aiello in like the 80s, but other than that, like he kind of didn't really hit till like the 90s or mid 90s.
It was the 90s, yeah.
And a lot of that stuff I think was still just dubbed Hong Kong stuff, like Operation Condor and things like that.
I'm talking about like when Rumble in the Bronx was made.
Right, I know. But yeah. I think he might be in the four if you're really because like I said I can think of there were Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Seagal, Van Damme, and Chuck Norris were like the five their type of movies I watched when I was a kid as watching like action movies and fighting movies and just that kind of stupid shit, and so that would be the five I can think of offhand to name. And like you said, Chuck Norris wasn't so much about the physicality. So with
I think if you have to drop one person off there, it has to be Chuck Norris.
Yeah. So it is.
So
I think him and Van Damme had the shortest window, though. Obviously, They had
bad long careers, but the window of when they were actually worldwide stars was shorter.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because, I mean, Stallone and Schwarzenegger had a good almost 20 years there, probably.
Bloodsport, was that also 88? Or was that earlier?
I think it was. Which I've actually never seen all of. I've never seen all of Bloodsport's a really good film. I do kind of want to watch them these days. I just love that scene with Forrest Whitaker chasing him.
Yeah.
I always post that YouTube clip like every couple of months.
That's like the least memorable part of that movie.
I just, because it's the Chong part.
The guy making his pecs dance.
It's the part I would always see whenever it was on TV and I would flip by it and I'd just be like, this is hilarious. I love this. I love that they, in this like serious, like sort of serious, but like, you know, fighting movie or whatever, right. They just cut to a scene where he just runs away from these guys and it's all goofy set to like this like 80s pop song. That's like, what? You know?
That's the least, like, I mean, it's the least violent of all his rated R action films because it's based on a true story.
Right, yeah.
And most of the violence is just people fighting each other, yeah. Punching each other. There's some neck breaking and stuff, but, like, otherwise it's not a lot of that. And then, I don't know, you think about the other stuff, there's Kickboxer and Cyborg and then with Van Damme, you get into that period where very quickly it was like, so he was in Hard Target, he's in Time Cop,
he's in Double Team,
and then he's in stuff crap like Double Team
with Jeffrey and Lewis.
What's that one? Something about lions.
Lionheart.
Lionheart, yeah. And like
Lionheart's actually kind of an interesting one. He's in the French Legion.
Yeah, yeah. He's in the French Legion in half his movies. In his second half of the career where they're all movies that were straight to DVD,
yeah.
Almost all of them are him being in the French Legion, just so you know.
We forget that
there's one called Legionnaire, actually.
We forget that he was also in Street Fighter.
He was in Street Fighter. Street Fighter I was about to bring up. It's just such a horrific movie on all levels. But Raul Julia is really good in it. I was reading something the other day about his performance in that, and they were like, it was something about one of his lines just being the greatest thing ever. It was Chun Li, who was played by Ming Na, was like, she was a reporter in that. The movie was stupid. It changed all the characters from that. Like,
yeah.
Dalzim was a scientist instead of a fire-breathing yoga person who could stretch his limbs out.
Who was E. Honda?
He was just E. Honda. He was another, like, report. He was, like, the cameraman for Chun-Li or something.
That's hilarious.
It's just stupid. And, Chun-Li was actually hunting down M. Bison for years because he slaughtered her family and the whole village when she was a child.
Oh, yeah.
And he said he's making these drinks. He's talking to her, and he's wearing
the full M. Bison.
No. He's wearing like a smoking jacket, bathrobe, nightgown thing. But he still's got his hat on.
I love his Hitler hat.
And he's making these cocktails with like all of his fruit hanging out of it, right? And he's mixing those, and she's being held by some guards. And he's like, I'm sorry, I don't recall. And she's like, what? She's all pissed, and he's like, for me, or he goes, for you, the day Bison graced your village was the biggest day in your entire existence. And he walks up really close to her and hands her a glass. He goes, but for me, it was Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It's the best. And as you always bring up, he's got the suit that resuscitates him when he dies.
Yeah.
And he, like, I think he even raises up like this.
Yeah, he does.
He's like, ah! So there's like a couple of good, but that movie's just so miserable. But one of the funny things is when Van Damme talks about it, like Van Damme talking about movies in the past is always really sad because he's so arrogant about. But like in a casual European way, it's just part of the thing. Like
right.
I was the biggest star on earth, and you know it's just kind of the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he let slip that he and Kylie Minogue had an affair when they were both married while filming that, just so casually. So somebody asked him a question. They're like, did you, like, joking around, like, oh, did you and Kylie Minogue, you know, hit it off on the film? He's like, yes, we made love. It was a beautiful thing, you know. It's just a beautiful thing to encounter people throughout life and just make love to them. And, you know, several times and passionately. And it's just something that happens. And you just have to embrace these fleeting moments. Like, he always speaks very poetically about his dalliances and affairs. But
Well, then you see in JCVD when he kind of has that breakdown.
About Yeah. Which is also very good. You know, it's ranking them as actors. Van Damme is actually a very good actor. I think in terms of actual acting, you'd have to go like Stallone, maybe Van Damme, then Schwarzenegger. Despite the fact that he's an actor. He's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he's an actor for that type of movie. You couldn't put him in All the President's Men or something like that. You know, Stallone is a good actor. You know, sometimes a very good actor. I think he's probably the most savvy of all of them. But Van Damme is a pretty darn good actor. Like, he's great control of emotions on his faces, and you know, I don't know. It seems like when it comes down to that, I mean, Seagal always, when Seagal talks, he waves his head around like this always, like he doesn't know he's doing it.
Like, he's just super casual.
And he also doesn't. It's hard to find any lines in any of his movies that are longer than just a few words. He has a line in Above the Law where he says like 50 words, which is like the most I've ever heard him say. And it's like he had to memorize them really good, you know?
And it's hard to whisper that much stuff if you're talking like this, you know?
Right.
Which is sort of the way he always behaves.
But in Above the Law, so he's starting out with this career doing this sort of bully thing. And it's just interesting. It starts with him. It starts with showing his martial arts prowess.
Yeah.
The movie kind of goes all over the place. It's all these just random vignettes about things for a while. And it starts with him teaching some Japanese their own martial art, right? Because he went there to show them that he could do it better. That's not what he says. But he, you know, his whole thing is like, all right, I'm going to teach you now. So get up here. And these eager students go, hey, okay, Mr. Seagal, here we go. And he just every movement he makes just looks so awful and brutal. And somebody must have seen it and been like, that's so cool. And he's like, yes, it is cool. This is great. And he's like, you're going to be a movie star. And so they make him into a movie star. And I don't know if anyone ever told him once, like, you just look like a big, cruel bully. Mm-hmm. And everything you do is just so full of, every movement you make is just full of malice and hatred and just condescension. He's the most cruel, brutal person on the face of the earth is Steven Seagal. If there was ever somebody who should have been... Okay, so Van Damme can kind of pull off a bad guy. In Expendables 2, he was maybe a little too much. But he can kind of...
You're talking about the goat, the pet of Satan?
Yeah. Satan's pet. It's Satan's pet. But Schwarzenegger is... His personality and the way he... So he's always a good guy. You can always tell that that's all he could be. You know,
Or a robot. I mean, Terminator 1
is pretty frightening. But like, you know, not anyone who exhibits cruelty and...
Right. No real depth of psychological, like, you know...
Stallone is a good guy. You know,
Has Stallone ever played a bad guy?
I don't know.
No, I think about it. I don't think he ever has.
Maybe not. But, like, there are some people who just do that. But Steven Seagal, find a movie where you think he's actually convincing as a good guy. Because he's just condescending and cruel to everybody. When he talks to anyone, when he talks to any woman, he's like grabbing them by the back of their head. Like, hey, you just calm down and shut up, okay? I won't let anything happen to you. Like, everything is...
Don't you know your family loves you?
Yeah, like, he's, like... Everything he says just sounds just so condescending to me. So there's nothing, and he just looks so cruel. Look at his face.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot to say here. This is kind of a downer.
No,
this is a downer episode.
I don't think so. I mean, we're talking about, like, you know. I think, I don't know what about his personality and what about his mental. I think that a lot of it has to do with, like you said, it's the way the stories are framed around him. There's always, I mean, like, in this movie, Above the Law is, I think, very similar to Hard to Kill, where there's sort of a political conspiracy going on that gets him in trouble, and, you know, the threat kind of attacks him from all sides. And, I mean, and then in that one, what was the one I was telling you about, where he's Gino and he runs around with a pool ball and socks?
That's Out for Justice.
Out for Justice, and is like the other side of this story, where it's like him going into the bars and then everyone being a scumbag and...
Oh, sure. Everyone... But here's the thing. They weren't being jerks to everybody else
until he walked in. No, you're right.
He draws it upon himself.
And he does approach them a certain
way. So here's how you know, okay, if there's ever anyone who's like just doing something slightly wrong in any movie, he won't beat the hell out of them, but he'll just slap them, which is so demeaning. Right? He just slaps people.
He slaps
them a few times.
He's a coach. He's got the coach mentality. Like, he's gonna wake them up, get them paying attention, get their head in the game.
Coaches can't slap people.
I'm not saying they can.
Bob Knight throwing chairs at people. There should be a whole series of action films about Bob Knight.
That'd be good.
He just throws chairs at the North Vietnamese.
What? They didn't really throw him; they kind of fling him, right? It's always kind of like you sort of slide it with your hand, and then it kind of goes up in the air half-assedly for a bit.
But it's just like so in Under Siege, you know, he's the cook,
right? Ryback,
and but he's a condescending jerk. And even the parts in the beginning when like he's cooking and they're having a good time and they're listening to some fun music, and he's got all his chefs around, all his people around him, his crew. And he's doing nothing but being demeaning to all of them. And they're all joking around, but like all his jokes are cruel, and you can tell he's the alpha male, right? And that's every situation. And then, if he ever has to save a woman, heaven help the poor woman, because he does nothing but just, you know, crap on her, essentially. But like in a protective way that lets you know that this helpless, frail, soft object who's only here for... presumably his sexual pleasure later, is just there for him to tuck under his arm and carry with him as he pulls the throats out of people.
Oh, okay, well then...
Do you remember MacGruber?
I remember MacGruber, yeah.
And how he wants to get a turkey.
Yeah.
He's never pulled three out in a row.
Yeah. So the Pam Grier character in this is not like that.
No, she's not.
And I don't remember the Erica Eleniak in Under Siege. I feel like there's not a lot of chemistry there between
them. No, there's none. It's terrible.
There is some sort of...
He has to carry her around like the scared little rabbit.
And there's an element of that that's justified, almost like... I mean, you could say it's misogynistic. Why not? Fine, it is. But, I mean, she pops out of a cake. But that's the character that she's playing is someone that's like, I mean, it's like the comedic sidekick on someone. It's like it'd be Rob Schneider if it didn't pop out of a cake. I don't feel like there's like some kind of...
Yeah, but
like
Rob Schneider would have
sexuality
Rob
angle.
Rob Schneider is in a Van Damme film.
Right.
And he provides more than just being there for the person.
I feel like she does at some point.
She provides her tits. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
There's something towards the end. She like fires some guns.
She helps people out. She kind of learns.
Has a little bit of an arc, I guess, is what I'm saying. And so there's at least growth for her character, and she gets tougher and stuff, as opposed to just being damsel mode the whole time.
Anyway, Steven Seagal's a jerk, is my point.
It's possible.
And in real life, he's probably a super nice guy.
No, it seems like maybe in real life there's been some stuff about maybe he's not that great a guy.
Really? What kind of evidence
do
you have?
I don't have. I don't know. I mean, you hear things about like there was some lawsuit from like some personal assistant, and I mean, I don't care about talking about celebrity gossip or shit, but you know. But I mean, even just seeing like you ever see that show Lawman, where he's like the police guy,
And he was very nice on that.
He seemed okay, but he did seem kind of like the character of Steven Seagal, like you mean, like, you know, kind of alpha male-y, kind of like he gets in on it and.
Yeah,
you know, there's real cops, and then there's him, and he's kind of a, you know, he puts on the uniform, and I guess he's doing it. You know, he's going out there for real. So,
anyway, Above the Law. It's not that great.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
It's all right.
It felt a little long, but I don't think it was over 2 hours.
It's got a really long, twisted, convoluted plot that probably isn't necessary. It gets better when you get to Mark for Death. Because you got Jamaican drug lords, twins, and they got swords.
Absolutely.
And that starts to get interesting, you know?
Yes.
The way that he dispatches people, and that's always the interesting thing in these films. And most of these things, like, I mean, he's going to shoot a couple people if he's a cop. Otherwise, he just knocks them out. And that gets funnier and funnier as they go along. We will soon watch a movie that matters, Fire Down Below, right? Fire Down Below.
Right.
And that film is him just with a tasseled John Denver
that's right.
buckskin coat.
He's got the fringe
him just picking on backwoods inbred rednecks and just breaking their faces and noses and, you know, just in the same manner here. Like they just pick the dregs of humanity, but people who like want to puff their chest out and seem like they're tough. But then guess what? You send Steven Seagal into the mix.
And they're not beating their kids after that experience.
No, they're probably going to beat their kids more.
It's possible, one way or the other.
Can't believe I let Steven Seagal brutalize me like that with his fists.
Yeah, I would give Above the Law probably a light 3 out of 5. It's fun to watch, but I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. It's probably the third or fourth time I've seen it, but it's been like a long time, so
it's a 2.5 for me.
Really remember it.
It's a 2.5.
I think I just like that it's a little more ambitious with, like, you're right, it is convoluted, but all the CIA
stuff.
Yeah,
it was, they were trying to make a real movie.
Something more, yeah.
They were trying to make a real movie. It's almost like Serpico, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Steven Seagal's Serpico.
Yeah.
That's what this film is.
Just let it go, Frank.
Uh-huh. Let it go, Nico. No, I'm not going to let it go, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
This is why. Good job, Steven Seagal.
Good job, Steven Seagal. You did it.